Welcome to Wellness in Dentistry. I am your co-host, Dr. Martin Mendelson, joined by my co-host with most, Dr. Kyle Stanley. Welcome to you, Kyle, to talk about time off today.
Yeah. Good to see you, Martin. Today's going to be a fun one. I think this is a topic that people like to push back on, right? There's a big misbelief in dentistry that you can't take any time off.
Correct.
Why do you think this is?
I think part of it is wanting to do well by your team. I think that there's a compassion and an empathy element to it. And I also think that there's a misunderstanding of how to plan and that you can plan and you can plan for things that are unplanned, meaning you may assume your production is going to be X, but it turns out to be X minus whatever. That's okay too if we build it in the plan. So I think it's a couple misnomers, and one of the biggest elements and areas of it is lack of planning.
I like what you said about compassion. Let's talk about that a little bit, because I think that was how I thought about it with taking time off. I was like, I can't cancel any patients.
Right.
I can't, you know, not be available for these patients. And I think it came from a good place.
Sure.
It came from me caring for my patients, you
absolutely,
know, getting joy out of my work, wanting to do the best, wanting to be convenient for my patients because, you know, they're paying a lot of money. And I know dentistry is not always comfortable and, you know, it's supporting my family. And so I wanted to make it as easy for them. So I do think it came from a good place. I think most dentists think about this from a good place.
Absolutely. I mean, we're empathetic people. Most of us, almost all of us, got into this to help people.
Yeah.
And so wanting to help people is a great thing. I think we can also all agree that although dental emergencies seem to come up immediately, they don't happen overnight, right? Being there for your patients that are in active treatment is one thing. Being there for the totality of the patients of record is another. Mm. And the truth is, like you say all the time, we got to put our own oxygen masks on first. We can't be our best or do our best when we are stressed and tired and not feeling even close to 100%. So the compassion thing is huge. And I think we need to set up or consider the idea of boundaries relative to, my life is important as well. My family is important as well. And we need to set appropriate boundaries so that I can be my best for these people that are paying me a lot of money, that are taking time out of their work. And they have certain expectations on us. So you could almost argue that the compassion argument could work both ways, right? In order to really be there to the best of our ability for our patients, we have to take time off. But many of us don't think of it that way.
Yeah, well, I want to quote one research study that the ADA did, and they quoted that only 10% of dentists take any time off.
Yeah.
Can you believe this?
It's unbelievable to think about, but I see it.
I was one of these people, so I can actually believe it. I mean, now, after going through my mental health journey and teaching and, you know, learning from you and others, I can't believe I did that, but I was one of these people. You know, I told the story where I missed my wife's grandmother's funeral simply because I had a patient.
Yeah.
It wasn't an emergency patient. It wasn't a celebrity patient. It wasn't a big case. It was just, I had work. And I remember when she came back from the funeral and said, everyone was asking where you were. And I was like, what do you mean? I have to work.
Yep.
Thinking like, how selfish of these people.
Yep.
And now I think like, gosh, what an idiot. I don't even remember who the patient was.
Exactly. What I see as well is, yes, the patient care part, but the working night and weekend part on the business.
Mm.
And dentistry is very, very difficult. And it's an entrepreneurial type of situation where a lot of it does fall on our shoulders.
Yeah.
And particularly with my coaching clients, there comes to a point where you have to look at yourself and say, what is my time actually worth? And what is my time off actually worth? And is it the best use of my time to be paying the bills or to be paying payroll or to be going through the inventory? I had a good buddy, a specialist in the Midwest, that had a rental CFO. The guy came in once a month, paid all the bill, maybe it was twice a month, paid all the bills, did the payroll. I mean, yeah, of course he paid the man, of course, but he didn't have to do that on nights and weekends. And so we need to be honest with ourselves, setting up boundaries for our own time. What is our time actually worth? And what is the cost that we are choosing to pay for continuing to work nights and weekends on things that we could potentially outsource using paying bills and payroll as two examples?
Yeah, I saw Alex Hormozi, who, I don't know if you're familiar with him, kind of a personal development business guy. And he was saying, as soon as he realized what his time is worth, he never did anything else that was mundane. Like, he never goes to the grocery store anymore. He never does his laundry. He never, like, if I'm going to put my effort towards what I can do, like what makes me money and what is efficient, then that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to offload everything else.
Absolutely.
And I think that we dentists are bad at this.
Yeah.
We're bad at delegating.
Yeah. And we look at it as, well, I can't afford to do that. And my challenge would be back, can you afford not to do that?
Yes.
That's the follow-up question, at least in my head.
Yeah. So you and I are big proponents of taking time off. And from my standpoint, it comes from avoiding burnout. Okay. I mean, that was, I guess, there's much more to it, but that's where the initial proponency, I don't know, what would be that word?
We'll call it idea. How about that?
Yeah, that's where the original idea came from, was I don't want my dental colleagues to get burned out. And one way that research shows to not get or to lessen burnout is to spend time with family, focus on nutrition, exercise, take time off.
Absolutely.
Now, the pushback that you and I get when we talk about this from our colleagues is, my schedule's too booked. My team needs the hours. I can't cancel patients. I can't afford it. How would you answer that?
So let's take it a couple different ways. I'm too booked. Well, who's the one that sets the clinical hours?
Yeah.
That would be you, right? So, you know, if you're too booked, we'll leave the whole do I need an associate thing for another time. Okay. But the idea here is that, you know, if you're too booked, my first question is going to be with what? Right. And do we have a templated schedule, and is our team following the constructs of the templated schedule? Is the schedule following your own personal desires? Like, for example, you're a morning person and you like to do bigger procedures in the afternoon and do consults and follow-ups in the afternoon, or new patient exams. Are you doing that? If not, why not? Now, if you're an associate and you're starting out, of course, there are things that are limiting. Very much respect that. By the same token, I'm going to challenge even younger associates. If you're a younger associate and you're making or exceeding production goals, I think any practice owner would be willing to sit down and go, okay, so, you know, you're killing it. Let's talk about how we can maximize the schedule so you can do that. Or if you're not, what are the reasons for it? So I think, for practice owners, we ultimately control our clinic hours. We ultimately control our schedule. And if things are going out of whack, well, that's when, you know, bringing somebody in from the outside to help figure out what's your template, how to train your team, what things are in the way is hugely important.
Let's say, let's give a scenario. Let's say the next 3 months, you know, you're booked out from 9 to 5, 5 days a week. Your husband or wife is telling you, you know, honey, we really need to take vacation. We need to take time off.
Yeah.
Then what do you do?
Well, first of all, I'm going to make an assumption in this scenario. It's not tomorrow, right? It's a couple weeks from now. So the truth of the matter is that if you really need to take that time off, then we need to actually take those patients and reschedule them. Very simple. Wait.
You're going to reschedule a patient?
Very simple, but not easy.
But Martin, they're going to leave my practice if I reschedule them, aren't they?
Maybe. But what's the cost of continuing to work the way you're doing and drinking yourself to oblivion every night, or being exhausted, or gaining weight, or having high blood pressure. What's the cost of that? Like, we hadn't talked about this in our pre-thing, but remember I talked about the Eisenhower matrix, the urgent and important. It's the things that are important and not urgent that we put off because we don't bear a price to it today. Like, is it important to go to the gym? Yeah. Is it urgent? Nope. Is it important to eat right? Yep. Is it urgent? Nope. So, we keep putting things off and putting things off and putting things off. Then what happens? What do you think would happen if you keep working the way you're working and you don't take that vacation or don't work in a way that is advantageous to your health? And gosh forbid you have a heart attack or, you have some kind of mental health crisis. Well, what are you going to do with all the patients then?
Or your team gets burnt out and then they
Amen.
leave, right? Because
Amen.
this is something that, I've been speaking a lot to dentists mostly. I do speak to teams, but really you're kind of the team guy. And I kind of forgot that. What about your team
Yeah.
getting burnt out too?
100%.
A lot of dentists are complaining right now about the turnover and you can't find team members
Absolutely.
and no one wants to work and this and that, but it's like they get burned out by patients too.
Absolutely. And I always, whenever I think about this, my mind goes to endodontists. I'll tell you why in a
Okay.
second. Because what ends up happening is, it's somebody comes in, it's a patient of record, it's an emergency, you're like, I'll see them at my lunch hour. Well, but who's going to support you at your lunch hour, right? And so why does my mind go to endodontics? Well, my good friend Dr. Lou Berman, who is one of the co-authors of Pathways of the Pulp, and he's like an
Oh, yeah,
icon, right?
right.
And a very successful private practitioner in Annapolis, Maryland. Endodontists live by emergencies, right? He's got this figured out. He has emergency slots locked in. If I remember right, it's like 10, 10:30, and like 2, 2:30. And it's based on patterns. It's based on the fact that the patient typically calls the GP first and then they get forwarded over the end. You get the idea. And so over the years, they've locked down this pattern. And so almost everything, including the unplanned, can be planned.
That's a great example because I have some other endodontist friends too, and I have one down the hall. And sometimes I'll see him, in the bathroom or in the hallway and say, hey, here he is going. Are you busy today? And sometimes I see him in the morning, he says, I've got 0 patients on the schedule. That means I could be sitting here all day. That means I could have 12 patients today, he said. I
Exactly.
never really know.
But even with Lou, and granted it's specific to endodontics, but not only do they have emergency slots in the schedule, but the way they schedule is purposeful. They're not going to put, an emergency right after some second molar endodontic procedure because they know that that might take a little bit longer and so forth. So, newer dentists aside, all of us have data that we can mine to take a look at how long does it take us to do X? When do our emergencies typically call? What kind of emergencies are there? How much we're producing every day, how much we're producing per hour, all those kind of things. Even if you've been in practice only a year, you have data of at least a year to go from.
And when we talk about someone who's booked ahead and they need to take time off, and oh my gosh, they have to cancel patients. This recently happened to me. I'm going to see an ENT soon because I've been losing my voice. And I scheduled 3 weeks in advance. Okay. A few days later, they called me and said the doctor's actually going to be out that day.
I've had it happen too,
Can you come? It was like 2 days later. Okay. I said, yeah. I wasn't like, oh my God, I can't believe this guy. He thinks he's going to make an appointment with me and then he's not going to go through with it. This is ridiculous. No. I said, oh, okay. Yeah, I'll change that. I had to switch around a few things. But the majority of patients are not going to care.
No. And
And
do
if
you,
you do have those patients that freak out like that, like you said, if they leave, they're the ones you want to leave. Because
exactly.
imagine what happens when, you're running 15 minutes late for them, or when your hygienist is sick and they have an appointment, or when you have to pick up your kid from school when he or she is sick and last minute you have to cancel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so this kind of goes into one of the things we said we were going to talk about earlier. Like, I'm going to have some hand surgery in a couple months. And I've fortunately or unfortunately, fortunately for the sake of example, unfortunately for life, I've had a lot of surgeries in my life. And so this is a really good example because my surgery, I think, is like the 21st of May. They said, okay, you need to come in 3 days later for a post-op. Your appointment is Friday, the whatever that is, at 10:30 in the morning. And I said, okay. And
They
so
don't give you a choice.
they don't give you a choice. And so we get stuck so much thinking that we need to be all things to all people. Now,
We have to
do we need to
bend
be?
backwards for every patient possible and make it so convenient.
Do we need to make it convenient? Yes. Is that important? Yes. However, are we as professionals making more out of it than it actually is? I would argue maybe we are. Because if we, as people who understand the other side, are like that when things change, then fine. And you just said it 2 seconds ago. If somebody's going to overreact because something gets scheduled or changed, is that really somebody that you want to deal with? Now, granted, if something's happened a couple times and they're getting upset, well, that's a different story. And we need to accommodate them and we need to move forward because relationships are important.
For sure.
However, the occasional change, we need to stop getting in our own way, basically.
Yeah. And the other thing is, when you call and say, I'm sorry, I need to reschedule your appointment, the doctor is going to be out that day. It's you're telling them, you're saying, this is he or she can't see you.
Exactly.
So this is what it is.
Absolutely.
It's a fact.
Absolutely.
And then
Absolutely.
you
And
can say,
so
what's better for you, mornings or afternoons? Oh, morning.
exactly.
Okay, I've got, Monday the 2nd, I've got a Wednesday, and then you're trying to accommodate them still, right?
100%. And you bring up an interesting point, which is yes, it is a good idea. It does make sense to give patients choice and options. And in doing so, we can make the options advantageous for both parties. So in other words, we have Tuesday at 10 and 2 or Wednesday at, 11:30 and 4:30. And there's a reason why we're offering those to a
That's
client, right?
right.
So having the idea that it's just a free-for-all is where we're going to run ourselves into trouble. And that's actually what I see all the time
Yeah,
because
I'm surprised at when I'm scheduling for other doctors. I'm surprised at how many doctors say that. When do you want to come in? I'm surprised that they
100%.
say that to me because I know the other side, which is like, if I'm coming in for an exam, let's say for any doctor, there should be a time when exams are scheduled. Right. And
Amen.
I'm sure that the doctor prefers that they have exams on certain days, certain mornings, certain times, certain time periods with certain assistants, certain times of the
Absolutely.
month, even,
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I know even in my current life, if I'm not speaking or conducting a workshop, my Fridays, those are my creative days. And I try not to schedule a lot of meetings. Why? Because I understand how my own mind works, how my own body works, what my personal preferences are. And if I'm not traveling, I love the idea of getting up on a Friday morning and having a project to work on. I can really sink my teeth into it. And so that's just an example of the speaking and workshop preparation world, but it's no different than anything else. It has to do with your desires, your energy, how much energy you have at that given point. Like, it's the same discussion, it's just a different topic. That's all.
So we've hit on the misbelief that patients will hate you if you reschedule them. Okay. Let's go on the next big one, which is money. I can't afford it, Martin. I cannot, if I cancel that Friday, I've got $6,000 on the schedule. I need that to pay my loans, to pay my overhead, to put my kid in school. What's the pushback on that you and I think?
So my pushback on that is And I don't necessarily say this overtly, but whenever I hear that, I'm like, great, then you're not planning properly. Or you don't know where you stand on a regular enough basis. So if we just do simple math, if you have, just to use very simple round numbers, if you have $1 million practice, you can do $1 million in 192 days. I'll explain where that comes from in a second. You can do $1 million in 192 days at $5,000 a day.
Okay, how many days a week is that? And how many weeks a
Or
year?
4 days a week, 48 weeks a year, that's 4 weeks off. And every Friday or whatever day, one day of the week is yours for mental health or administrative purposes. And so if you say to me, Martin, well, what happens with variability? Well, build in variability. In other words, so instead of planning to work 192 days, which gives you 4 weeks off a year, maybe you plan on working 192 plus four would be 196, or maybe 197 to accommodate for that fluff. And that just by simple math can help you plan. And of course, we need to stay up on where we are year to date. And there is more to it than that, of course. We need to take a look at how our case acceptance is going, where our AR is, how we're aging things, all those kind of things. So working with consultants, whether that's, Spear or anybody else that has the ability to help you comb that data, because many of us don't have the ability to do that, or even the interest, and that's okay. Not having the interest to do it is one thing, but not knowing it is a totally different story.
Yeah, I think so many dentists, because we're so clinical focused, we willy-nilly the business part. And that's what causes us so much stress is, like you and I will talk in our live courses, Lightside Live, or in our online groups, like Lightside Club. We'll talk to dentists and we'll say, what is your overhead? And they'll say, I have no idea. Or what is your monthly production goal? I don't really know. What's your weekly production goal? I don't really know. What's your daily production goal? What's your hourly production goal? I know it's a lot to think of because we're doing so many things in our businesses and our practices, but a simple idea. My dad had that same $5,000 goal when, and I used to work with him one day a week, and I knew that. And so it was like, hey, $5,000, So if, let's say, your hygienist is going to do $1,000 that day, right? That means you only have to do 4,000. If your indirect restoration is $1,000, try to do four indirect restorations, or three indirect restorations and three fillings, or a denture. And you know what I mean? Like, so easy to take all these little puzzle pieces and put them together. And it doesn't need to be exact, of course, but it's really nice to come in and also to share this with your team members to say, when we're scheduling, we like to look for around $5,000 a day, let's say. And so that they know and they can have expectation, communication, boundaries. They can have the expectation that when I'm scheduling, I need to try to put, at least $5,000 a day on.
So that brings in another point, which is when I would teach specialists at Spear, particularly their team members, I would use the disclaimer, which I feel in my soul that I want to share now, which is this. We are talking about dollars, not because we are focusing on the financial aspect. Granted, we need to have a successful practice or else we can't keep the doors open. The dollars is the only quantifiable representation of is this working that we have. So the dollars is a direct representation of case acceptance. It's a direct representation of the procedures you do. It's a direct representation of your communication. And so let's kind of put aside that this conversation's all about money. No. This conversation is about how we can represent the fact that we are operating an efficient and effective practice. The only way we have to do that is through dollars. Period. End of story. And that's not a bad thing. Now, there are some clinicians out there that feel a little skittish about giving a dollar goal.
Right. It
There are
feels like
ways.
yucky
Yeah.
salesperson. Yeah.
Right. But there's ways around that too, relative to the template, where we need to do X number of this type procedure a day, Y number of this, Z number of this. There are ways around it. But not planning is going to get you into more trouble than overtly planning, if that makes
And
sense.
going back to our whole idea of wellness in dentistry, it's three
Yeah.
things. Patient wellness, number one, that is good treatment, sound treatment, predictable treatment. Number two is the practice. Like you said, we don't have the financial means to just be a charity.
No.
No, we have to support our team. We have to pay for our team. We have to pay for ourselves. We have to pay for our school loans. We have to pay for our practice loans, all this kind of thing. And then, of course, the big one is the practitioner wellness.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's what really the whole topic is about today. But the topic of taking time off has to include the other two. You never talk about one without the other two.
Right.
It always goes back to it. And that's why today, although our topic is taking time off, how do you take time off? How does it affect your patients? How does it affect your bottom line? How does it affect your business?
Absolutely.
And
And
so, yeah, go ahead.
sorry for interrupting. And
Yeah.
the only way you're going to be able to answer that is with data, period.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to work 200 days instead of 192. I don't
Sure.
know, but you don't know either unless you look at the numbers.
Yeah. So we've talked about the misbelief that patients will hate you. We've talked about the misbelief. Well, I guess we can expand a little more on this one of, but I can't afford to take time off. So let's expand a little bit more on that, because you've talked about how we can plan to know exactly how much time you can take off and still hit your financial goal. Let's give some examples of taking time off and making more money. That sounds wild to people.
I
And
think,
you and I have seen it time and time again. Let's first talk about how is that possible?
it's very possible when we are being intentional on certain drivers. So if you, for example, want to restore more implants in your practice, and you notice that your case acceptance for implants working with your specialists is not where it needs to be, and you've had, have had a conversation with your specialist, surgical specialist, to find out where you stand within the community. What do I mean by that? How does your case acceptance stand versus the other individuals that that surgeon works with? And what lessons can you glean from what other people do to make you better? I'm not talking about nitty-gritty number details that are confidential. No. We're talking case acceptance. We're talking about percentage. So if you can focus on certain areas in your practice that you would like to lift, and let's say, you get two implant cases a month that come in your door that average, oh, I don't know, $5,000 each. Let's just make it easy, right? So that would be $10,000, except your case acceptance is 40%. Well, what happens if we could actually raise that to 50%? Well, if it's two cases, $5,000 a month, 50%, that's a day,
Right.
right? So that's a very simplistic example, but the point here is that we need to look at our levers relative to what's actually going on in the practice and use those numbers to then inform us how we can or not be able to take additional days or even in some cases weeks off, right?
Yeah, so what the research shows on burnout is when you're going towards burnout, so I'm saying you're not taking time off, you're working too late, you're bending over backwards for patients, you're at the point where I was, where you were. And the research shows that we only have about 80% of our capacity, of our efficiency when we work. This is any job, not just dentistry. So you're working 10 hours that you could be doing in 8 hours. Okay. Now you take time off, you're rested, you're spending time with family and friends, you're focusing on nutrition, and you have time for burnout relief, like diet, relax, relationships, exercise, appreciation, meditation, and sleep. How do you show up different? First of
Yeah.
all, you're going to be more efficient. So you're going to do work in less time that is better. That brings your cost per hour higher. You're
100%.
making more money, right? And in addition, like you were saying with case acceptance, if you're burnt out, you're just hating coming into the practice, and then you're going to talk to the patient, yeah, Mrs. Jones, you need to go to Dr. Smith, and she's going to place the implant, and then we're going to do a crown on top of that. And she says, no, I don't want to do that. And yeah, and you're so tired, and I'm exaggerating, of course. But think about you spent the entire day yesterday, or the entire day yesterday, you went to the gym, you met up with a friend for lunch, cleaned your home office, you got to get outside, you cut the grass, think of how you show up the next day.
100%.
You show up, number one, you look better, right? Because you've slept, you've eaten well, you've exercised. A lot of research has shown that when you look better, you look tired, your sales rates go up. Okay. People make more money when they look better. You are more present. You're happier to be there. Your team reacts different to you because you come in, standing a little taller, feeling a little bit better. And how does that affect your case acceptance?
Absolutely.
How does that affect how your team reacts to you, works for you, how they show up more? These are a lot of the intangibles that I believe lead to higher production, lead to better business, lead to better clinical outcomes, literally better clinical outcomes by taking time off.
Absolutely. And one thing that we haven't even talked about is the importance of having that time off on the calendar. And what I mean by that is there's a lot of studies that talk about the importance of having something to look forward to. If you don't have anything planned, the burnout creeps in much more readily, the exhaustion creeps in much more readily because you feel like you're on this never-ending hamster wheel. And
Yes.
they even talk about the importance of actually, if you're going away on a vacation, however you define going away, even if it's 2 hours in the car up north, like I'm in Phoenix up to Flagstaff,
Yeah.
having that next thing planned before you get back is actually really important.
Wow, that's really interesting. I see that so much with my wife. So my wife is a stay-at-home mom. She's covered in, baby food and changing diapers and waiting for me to get home and picking up my son at school and this and that. And I know that whenever we schedule our next vacation, so like right now, we just scheduled one for the summer where we're going to go to Maine. I'm speaking in Maine and they're going to join me and we're going to do a little East Coast trip. She's so excited. And I know that, we're recording this, it's in March. We've got like a few months where she's going to be excited about, hey, where are we going to eat, and
100
what
percent.
outfits am I going to wear, and where are we going to take the kids, and oh, let's look at the hotel pool again. And just having something to look forward to is really major for her. I see this all the time with her.
That we're not focusing on this today, but this goes into the whole science of optimism and all the research that's there. Reason why it came to my mind is what's your favorite movie?
Well, I think you asked me this before,
Aha,
but
what's your favorite
it
movie?
was Fight Club.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just thinking about Fight Club for you on average is raising your endorphins by 27%.
Crazy.
It's nuts. And so that has all kinds of other effects to your visual cortex, your cognitive ability, your diagnostic ability. I talk about this in my optimism lectures, but the point is that it's true for all the reasons we've talked about, and being mindful of how important it is to have that next thing planned for yourself and your family as well.
Now let's talk a little bit about the boundaries we need to set with our team about certain time off. Now this can be lunch breaks, this can be ending dates or ending times of the day, this can be vacation hours, because I know it's difficult for the for especially our front office team that's on the phones. When a patient calls, they've got a broken tooth, and you don't have any time for the next 3 days, but your lunch break is open. You know the doctor is gonna be here. how do we communicate that to our teams so that they understand the importance
Yeah.
that even that 30 minutes we take off for lunch, and that's like you said, our team as well needs to eat lunch
Right.
too.
Right.
And then two, how do we communicate that to the patients? Like they need to know, hey, doctor needs to eat lunch as well.
Yeah. So a couple things, at the potential risk of sounding like a broken record, it goes back to planning. Like you know you're going to get emergency patients. What kind of emergency patients do you get? How often do you get them? When do they call? Is this a perfect solution? No, but at least you have some data to go by to try to pre-plan in your schedule. What I can say from my own practice experience is that we kind of had a policy, and the front office team did a great job with this, was we want to be there and we want to be in service to our patients. So if you're having a problem and you're having pain, we will see you, but we will not guarantee when we see you because we want to treat everybody else with the same respect and time that we're giving you. So yes, you can either come in 3 days from now or you can come in today, but bring a book because we won't guarantee. And they had some great verbal skills.
I love that. And what I hear in that is expectation,
100%.
boundaries, and communication.
100%.
Because
And
I've had this happen before with, I don't know, was it when I was going, either me or my son or my wife or some, one of us needed a last minute doctor's appointment. And they said the same thing. Oh, it was my daughter, actually. It was my daughter, the pediatrician. They said, you know, I think she was sick and we wanted someone to see her. And they said, you know, we are fully booked. There may be an opening like around 2 or 3 or 3:30, but just know you're probably gonna have to wait. It may be up to an hour. So I now have the choice. I can wait, or I can be seen today knowing
Absolutely.
that I have to potentially wait an
Yeah.
hour.
Yeah.
And the patient can make the decision. It gives
Yes.
them the choice, which I think is nice.
And the other thing I think I'll say too is, an emergency is not something that's routine for the individual, right? So if you think about putting yourself in your team's shoes for a minute, if you're always dealing with emergencies at lunch, how are they going to look at it versus once a month we have to stay through lunch? See what I mean? And like, how are we handling that? Are we bringing lunch in as a recognition of the fact that we had to work through lunch? Because if we're constantly working through lunch because we're constantly getting emergencies, what does that say about our schedule? Right? Now, might it take some time to work through? Yes. Might it take some trial and error? Yes. Is every practice different? Also, yes. That doesn't mean we shouldn't make the effort to make to attempt to make things better and to plan for the uncertainty. And endodontists and other specialists do it all the time.
All the
And in
time, yeah.
fact, that might be a recommendation. Call up your local endodontist that you have a relationship with and go, how do you handle emergencies? Because most of your practice is built on emergencies.
That's
What do
right.
you do? How do you
Oral
do?
surgeons as well, they have those emergency broken teeth
Amen.
where, you know, the dentist tried, they couldn't get it out,
Yep.
or, you know, the patient's in pain and they really need
Yep.
to try to do something. Yeah, I would ask him. Now, I would also say ask him or her that you know sets good boundaries, isn't burnt out,
Yeah,
you know,
true.
has
Fair.
balance in their life,
Fair.
because you may get the specialist that says, oh, yeah, I see him. I'll see him at 7 p.m. I'll see him on Saturday. I'll see him at any time in my life. So you got to make sure that you are talking to your specialist that has that balance.
Yeah, that's true because I can think of one specialist. I won't even name the specialist or the state, but somebody I was working with who had shared their practice numbers with me, who was doing extraordinarily well and was still working 5 days a week up until 6 p.m. every night. And my honest question to them was, why are you doing that? Well, I have to. Really? Who made that rule? What do you mean you have to? And so we need to ask ourselves those hard questions.
Yeah, it is hard. You know, I'm still like this. It's like we make good money as dentists, as dental professionals in general, but we always want more, right? And I think it's part of the wellness journey to understand how your finances play into your happiness truly and how
Absolutely.
they don't. You know,
Absolutely.
I've made very good money. I've made a third of that. And I can tell you that at one time, I was the happiest when I was making a third of that.
100%, 100%. We tell ourselves stories relative to what our needs are, when at the end of the day, if we're really honest with ourselves, we might actually get a different answer.
Yeah. Because I'm guilty of this, you know. I live in a nice place. I have some cars that I love. I would love to have more of those cars, right? But I have to think that I could work more, I could take more speaking events, you know, I could start more businesses, but at what cost? At the cost of not being able to drive my kids to school every day, at not being able to, you know, coach my son's teams. Those are much more important to me than making an extra $50,000 or, you know, $100,000 a year, actually.
100%, 100%. No, I agree with you. And those questions aren't easy. They're very simple questions on their surface, but they're
Yeah.
very difficult to answer. And
And I still struggle with it too. You know, I still have a hard time saying no to things, finding the stuff that really is important where I want to spend my time. You know, I still get invited to speak at places where, you know, I'd like to go for the prestige, but the money doesn't really make sense, you know, and I have to control my ego a little bit. It's not like it's ever easy. It does get easier the more you practice, just like anything, and the more you know what your purpose is in life, too.
100%. Yeah, 100%. I mean, being real with yourself, what you want to get out of life, how you want to live your life, and really, to use a phrase from emotional intelligence, testing reality testing. Like, how true is that? Do I really need that? Well, who made up that rule? Why is that the case? Now, why questions as a coach, you got to be a little careful, because whenever I ask somebody, why is that? I'm going to hear their own story. However, it's an important question to ask yourself. Why do I need to do this? And continue to ask yourself, well, why is that? Well, why is that? I have an exercise where we talk about why we use the question 5 times. We've done this in Lightside Live, and it's really illuminating to really get to the core about what our true motivations are. And sometimes they're not what we think they are, and we take the time to look into them.
So to finish off today, I'd like to talk about a few examples that we've seen. So, you know, one of the ones I'd love to share is our friend Dr. Narain from New Jersey, just an amazing person, Lightside Club member, been a really big supporter of everything that you and I have done for years. And when Narain started, when he had joined my group for Lightside Academy, he was burnt out. He's an amazing dentist, clinical dentist, you know, full arches, intraoral scanning, digital smile design, guided surgery, like very, very good preps. I've actually, he's one of those guys that actually shows his preps. Amazing clinical dentist, okay? But he was working 5 days a week. He was working hard, you know, he was making good money. He had a front office team member that had bright red hair. And when he would see her hair out of the corner of his eyes, his heart would start pounding. Not anything against her, but whenever she came to the back office, it was always bad news. You know, oh, the hygienist is late today, you know, but the patient's already here. Or patient at the front doesn't like the treatment plan, they don't want to pay. Or, you know, Mrs. Jones is here, her tooth broke, and she wants to be seen right away. Like, it was always something bad. You know, she was the office manager. Now, he was wearing, I don't know, like a Whoop or one of those things that monitors your heart rate throughout the day. And his resting heart rate was 140.
Oof. That's
Resting heart
high.
rate, 140. And he's in good shape. Exercises, he plays with his kids, he's a cyclist. He went to his MD, and his MD said, "You have anxiety. You know, you need to take some time off." And he gave all the excuses that we talked about before. "Well, I can't cancel patients. I'm booked out 3 months ahead. I can't afford it. What about my team? They can't miss the days, this and that. And his MD basically said something like, "Well, do you have time to be dead?"
That's a pretty get to the point question.
Which is, bold and kind of an asshole way to say it, but hey, it's true,
Yeah.
So Noreen took a day off a week. He just said, "You know what? I'm going to take Fridays off." Let's say, I don't know which day it was. I think it was Friday. I'm going to take Friday off and I'm going to focus on my nutrition. I'm going to focus on exercising, spending time with my kids and being there. He has two little boys, being there with my boys and his wife. His wife's also a dentist. And what do you think happened to his practice?
Well, I know the answer, so I didn't
Yeah,
cheat.
I know. It's, yeah. At first, it stayed the same, meaning he was making the same amount of money working 4 days a week instead of 5 days a week for all the reasons that we talked about, right? He's showing up better. His team is relaxed. His case acceptance goes up. He's more efficient when he is working clinically, right? So he's doing it in 8 hours, not in 10 hours, what, going back to the research. And then he started dropping some of his insurances. And so then he's making more money working the same. And then he really became someone who's so focused on his mental wellness and his physical wellness and his relational wellness. He took another day off. So now he's averaging about 3.25 days a week, and he's making more money than he was making when he was doing 5 days. And this is such a great example of going against those misbeliefs, making yourself a priority, making your team priority. I mean, I could even say it's making your patients a priority because you're going to show up better. And it just proves all the different points that we've talked about today.
Well, and you know his practice even better than I do. And he's not the kind that's like doing all the endo and like doing ortho and all this other stuff, keeping everything in house. He's doing the stuff that he wants to do that's,
That's right.
efficient in his hand, that's also happens to be profitable. And so I don't, oftentimes, dentists will get caught in the general dentist will get caught in the trap that in order to be that successful, I have to do everything. And I always respectfully chuckle because I'm thinking to myself, okay, so you think you need to keep everything in house because you can charge X for molar endo, except it takes you 3 hours to do it.
And a great example of that is Ritter and Ramsey in Florida is they always say we're a referral-based practice. That means we refer everything out. They do restorative dentistry. And they've said it many times. They said, "We're good at restorative dentistry. We don't do endo. We don't do ortho. We don't do oral surgery. We don't do pathology. We don't treat kids." Now, they still have patients that have kids, right? And they say, "Yeah, when your kids are, 16 or 18, then we'd be happy to treat them." And, oh yeah, your kid does need ortho, and so we're going to refer you to Dr. So and so. And they have a very successful practice. They're well known. They do good work. It's restorative dentistry.
I know exactly where they are. They're right near my family in Florida.
So any final thoughts for today?
I think at the end of the day, we just need to be real with ourselves. And anytime we make a globalization statement, I have to do this, I cannot do that, I cannot do, I can't take vacation. Blah, blah, blah. Just simply ask yourself, how true is that? And if it wasn't so true, what would have to change in order to make it true? And just that simple exercise alone could change everything. Like, I can't afford an office manager. Well, okay, so all the things that you're doing that an office manager might do, how true is it that you need to do payroll? How true is it that you need to pay the bills? Maybe you bring in a rental CFO, as we talked about before, but the closing thought is just challenge your assumptions, particularly when they're globalistic in nature, that I can't take any time off, I can't move my, I'm too busy, those kind of things. Just question it to at least open up the aperture of your mind to a potential different path.
And my final thoughts would just be Take the time off so that you don't go through the burnout that I went through.
Yeah, true.
Avoid it.
Yeah.
Take the time off. It's not worth the money. It's not worth the stress. I promise me. I know it doesn't seem like it right now, but when you were as dark and as deep as I was, you will realize that had I taken time off and been more balanced earlier in my career, I wouldn't have to go through the difficult,
Yeah, it's true.
burnout, depression, anxiety that I went through.
It's true.
Well, it's been fun. Been a good one today,
Absolutely.
Martin.
Yes.
And if the listeners are interested in anything that we do, we have got our live 2-day course coming up in November of 2024 in Southern California. We'll be announcing everything very soon. Martin has his private coaching. He can come into your team. He does, 1-2 day events, also keynote speaker. You can join Lightside Academy, which is my online course. You get 5 CE credits for that. So pretty cool that you can get CE credits for working on your mental and relational health. All of these links are at wellnessanddentistry.com. You can also find us on Instagram at wellnessanddentistry.com. And we thank you for joining us today. And Martin, I had a fun time talking.
Absolutely. It was fun as always. We'll see you next time.